another exciting episode in the life of the most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
Chicken!
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
I loved him. I loved Chicken Man. But it did give me the you-know-whats. That we had Wonder Woman all dressed up as cutesy-wootsy, and they had Chicken Man. Well, we've got some chicken women, and they know a bit more than Chicken Man did. Because next week, in a chook shed somewhere in Victoria, something unusual will be happening. A featherless hen, that is not a live hen that's lost its feathers and been mistreated. Stick with me here. A featherless hen will be released amongst thousands of baby chicks. Watch where you tread. Two young budding entrepreneurs, Eleanor Toulmin and Sarah Last, will be watching just as keenly as if they were the parents. And in a way they are. Because the chicken they're releasing isn't real. It's a robot, and they invented it. To tell us why they invented RoboChook and what they hope their RoboChook will achieve, I'm joined by Eleanor and Sarah. Ladies, welcome to Counterpoint.
Oh, thanks very much for having us.
Hi.
RoboChook, it's a fabulous idea. Fabulous idea. I hope you can get it to work. Sarah, this was your brainchild, apparently. You started off with the idea. Of course, you've got to get the idea to work. Lots of people have great ideas and do nothing about it. So good on you for doing something about it. But how did it come into your head?
I always wanted to be a veterinarian. And I think that kind of came from growing up on the Mornington Peninsula and being exposed to, I guess, a kind of farming environment. So started pursuing that at university of Melbourne, and kind of having grown up in and around the farming environment, just started realising that a lot of what we were learning in class about what's the best way to look after animals and how do you do this really married with how I'd been taught to look after animals as a kid, which was basically to look at the animal and to try and find, you know, whereabouts was this animal came from originally in nature, and then try and replicate that environment as closely as you possibly could using whatever tools you had available. So that means if it was a horse, you put it in a big open field. If it was a bird, then you tried to kind of make it a leafy green area where it can fly and whatnot.
What was the light bulb moment when you connected with the problems of raising chicks in poultry farms with what might be possible? What was that light bulb moment?
I was sitting in the back of a lecture one day and we were talking about kind of stress responses in animals and the kind of connection came where, you know, if you raise animals in the kind of lower stress environment, you have the best kind of production outcomes for the animal. But then also recognising that maternal care is a really important component of kind of early growth in animals. And that chickens, unfortunately, in commercial settings get kind of raised without their mum for really important biosecurity reasons. But then that there was a huge opportunity there for, you know, to be able to look at the key features of maternal care.
A robot mum.
Yeah, and a robot mum.
Fair enough. Now, what are the biosecurity reasons as to why they're raised in poultry farms without their mum?
Yeah, sure. So mother hens are a lot older, which means that their immune system's a lot stronger, and baby chickens are not so much. They're kind of just recently out of the egg. And so if you put a whole bunch of adult hens in with the baby chickens, you can risk passing on disease to the baby chicks, which, you know, eventually is a terrible welfare outcome for them. But that means that the baby chicks are missing out on their, you know, that kind of.
Yep. I get that. Now, what is RoboChook designed to do? What is it, a plastic box? Give me a visual description of this thing.
Yeah, sure. So we designed a device that fits onto the existing feeders and waterers within sheds, and it replicates the feeding calls of mother hens. And so that and the feeding display that mother hens make. And so that teaches young chicks how to eat and drink in the first instance of life. Because baby chicks, while they're really cute, are not particularly great at learning how to eat and drink. And so by kind of giving this artificial feeding call, we can improve their feed uptake and their water uptake in the first 24 hours, which really sets them up for the best start in life, which means that their long-term growth opportunities is improved.
It's better.
Yeah, okay. And it also means you lose less in the first 72 hours to dehydration.
Yes, well, low mortality, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, what else does it do?
So kind of the second component of the IP is kind of a small, dark, heated area that chickens can kind of move into and move out of. It's just they're being sat on by their mum. And, you know, through a kind of variety of different features, this provides a safe, comfortable area. And they can still kind of come out to eat and to roam and round, but it kind of gives them that feeling
they can
like
get
they're
under mum's wing.
Yeah, exactly.
In a sense.
Yep.
Terrific. All right. Now, Eleanor, you weren't training to be a vet.
No, I wasn't.
You've got a completely different role in this. How did you get roped into RoboChook?
So I was working as a strategy consultant and was really just a little bit bored and wanted to go and solve my own problems rather than fixing some of my customers. So yep. I went and studied the Masters of Entrepreneurship at the University of Melbourne's Wade Institute, where I met Sarah, who said, look, I've got this idea in chickens. And I thought, well, if you've got the veterinary background and I've got the business background, then maybe between the two of us, we could actually get this to work.
You could be the chicken women of the world.
Absolutely.
I'm talking with Eleanor Toulmin and Sarah Last, who've invented RoboChook to make little chickens in poultry farms happier. Do you know, I read, Michael Port, I think, wrote a book on competition ages ago.
Mm.
Great big term that people would endlessly quote at you to show that they were knowledgeable. And he has an example in it of a dairy farmer in Tasmania who just wanted to make one little thing. I think it was to do with the cups that go on the teats, something to do with that. And he just decided he could make a better one.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't think it was going to be much in the way of a world discovery. But in fact, he was smart enough to get the IP sorted out on it and now sells it internationally all around the world. It's a much, much better little thing. For dairy farmers. So you could be selling RoboChook around the world.
That's definitely the plan, which is why we have to be a bit hedgy with what our product actually looks like, because IP lawyer will kill us after this otherwise.
No, that's fair enough. It's just what I've imagined, of course, is a plastic box that's covered with fake feathers that walks around like a toy.
Absolutely.
And a battery-operated car. There's a battery-operated chook that goes out spreading its wing over chickens and going cheap. And obviously, it's a bit more complicated than that. You've got a shed where someone's happy to help you. They let you use the shed.
Yeah, they have actually. So we've been working with a couple of farmers across Victoria, and one of them, Millawa Free Range Farm, actually just won Best in Class Chook. So they're a really exciting couple of farmers in Millawa up near Beechworth in northern Victoria to work with. And they are known for having quite an innovative, ethical, happy chicken. So for us to be able to work with them really fits with our ethos. But also they're interested in our product because it provides a positive improvement to their profitability whilst actually simultaneously improving animal welfare.
Yes. I mean, let me announce that guess who's having chicken tonight? Me, a Laotian chicken curry. Which will be delicious, I know. I'm fully supportive of this. We all have to eat. We understand that. That's just how life works. It's the circle of life. On the passage to the cones in the chicken factory, into which they drop the chickens before the head comes off, there's no reason to mistreat them. And the more the happier you can make them, to me, seems a good thing for two reasons. One is a straight animal welfare reason. You know, why not have the animal in the best nick you can and give it the happiest life it can have before it meets its purpose?
Yeah, definitely.
For us. So that's a good thing. But also a happier chicken has got to be better eating and better production, maybe, I don't know, putting on weight per pellet of food or whatever. And so it must be better for the grower as well.
Yeah, I think this is, you've definitely hit the nail on the head there. You know, that's this beautiful win-win where, you know, the better you treat the animal, the better the kind of financial return is for the farmer and the better it is for the person who eats it at the end of it. But I think, you know, here at Mimic Tech, we're a huge proponent of the one bad day theory, which says from the moment that an animal in its lifetime should only ever really have one bad day, which is, you know, the day it goes for processing. But that means from the moment it's born to the moment it passes away, it's treated with respect and kindness. And, it's fantastic to be working in an industry where, you know, when that is honoured, there are all these kind of flow-on benefits. So it's a real win-win.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a bit jealous of the animals, though, because It's not true of humans, is it, though? They get one bad day. We get a lot more than one bad day.
That's
true. A lot more than one bad day. But, okay, I'm with it. I'm happy with that one bad day, the last one. That's what we all would hope for. That's obviously the ideal.
Yeah, definitely.
That we go for. So now you've tried this once and had a few problems. Does the IP business allow you to tell us what the problems were?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the things that was really helpful to actually study entrepreneurship in a bit of a more formal, safe setting is you learn what's known as the lean methodology that says you should try and build the smallest thing, what we call an MVP or a minimum viable product, and say, what's the smallest thing that we can build and the smallest thing we can test? And then you go to your customers, your farmers, and say, what do you reckon? And you stick it in and you see how it works. So we built two different prototypes and they seemed to go pretty well. And then we built our third prototype and we went up to Miller and we stuck it into the pen and we turned it on and it didn't work, which was, oh gosh, the day that that happens, it's a 3.5 hour drive up. It took a day to install and then for it not to work was just heartbreaking. And that also meant that we suddenly weren't eligible for a government grant that requires a working prototype. So we then also had to call the government and say that $200,000 grant that we've just applied for, we're going to have to withdraw our application. And oh my gosh, at the end of the week, I went home and I had a couple of beers. But that's part of what entrepreneurship is. You come back in on a Monday morning and say, you know what? If we can't do this, I don't know if anyone else can. So let's give it another crack. And that's also one of the things that's great about the Melbourne Accelerator program that we're currently doing is we're a cohort of 10 other startups. And they're all across different industries. So there's Smiley Scope in MedTech, and there's One Step in FinTech, and there's George Robotics doing hardware. And so you can come in on a Monday morning and say, you know what, guys, last week was difficult. And everyone kind of pats you on the back and gives you a cup of tea and says, yeah, it was hard for us as well. But you're going to work together to try and build this ecosystem and trying to make exciting products and exciting businesses.
But it's life really resilience, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, you just have to say to yourself, well, you know, look at it another way. If you expect every day to be a good day like you want for your animals, you know, you're in need of some sort of psychiatric help for starters. Well, ladies, I have to say it is a pleasure. You know, I don't think the media necessarily has a bias, but we do hear a lot about men doing good things, and to hear two young Australian women giving it a crack, good on you. And I look forward to eating more chicken curries.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Eleanor Toolman and Sarah Last, the inventors of RoboChook, the thing that's going to make chickens happier, plumper, better to eat.